behind me. And yes, the key is not thrown away totally, but thrown into hard to find places. So yes, but I told Kostuba that in life I have learned one lesson. You have to identify a few people whom you trust, a few people with whom you feel you are connected, a few people who enrich your life, who nourish it, and then you need to be present in these few relationships and invest. Once you have decided that, you just don't question it. They come when they come at a time when you're on a retreat, you're there for them. When you're lying on your deathbed and they come, you say, yes, come. In other words, you are present entirely. And when you have some such relationships, then something extraordinary can grow in yourself. Good. I will do the following. I think we can just open with a prayer. I will request you to repeat after me. Then I will say a few words that you might hopefully find inspiring in your life and which are something like a takeaway. And then we will also have a beautiful light ceremony, really beautiful, which we will do in this most congenial atmosphere, which lends itself to deep and unforgettable spiritual experiences. But first, please take a look around, Hare Krishna. Please see this tree here, which you see on your right side. It is marking the place where a great saint, Madhavendra Puri, performed his amazing bhajan or spiritual practices, during which Krishna personally appeared before him and brought him a pot of milk. Yes. You can see the tree reincarnates itself many times. You see the old ancient wood and then growing from it these more whitish stems and trunks of the new tree. It's a symbol of our life, no? We constantly recreate ourselves, and also at the time of death we go to a new situation. Then is this most beautiful sacred kund. There are many turtles inside which you can't see, but which see you. See this flag there on the dome of this temple? This is the deity, presiding deity, and Raghunath and Kostuba, we are in a fortunate situation. We can look through the branches right onto the altar. He is blessing us there. And if you crank your neck and turn there, there are these beautiful white cows, no? Very, very many cows. And of course, Raghunath has introduced you to all the other things. He is the crowning jewel of Braj, the sacred mountain, who is a wish-fulfilling mountain, who gives a lot of spiritual benefits. So I will request you to say a pranam mantra to him. It will usher you into the atmosphere. So kindly fold your hands like this. Namaste Girirajaya. Say. Namaste Girirajaya. Shri Govardhana Namine. Shri Govardhana Namine. Ashesha Klesha Nashaya. Ashesha Klesha Nashaya. Paramananda. Paramanandadayine, Paramanandadayine. Oh, sacred mountain, your name is Giriraj, the king of all mountains. And you are known also by the name of Govardhan. And what do you constantly do? You take the misery from everyone and you give them the highest bliss. I think that's a good program for us, no? To take our misery and give the highest bliss. We have with us also a very interesting group of transcendentalists. It's Jai Jagannath and his group. They do a parikram, that means a circumambulation of the sacred mountain, by prostrating themselves. So as we are walking, they are prostrating themselves. And Jai Jagannath has given a very nice, I found, motto of pilgrimage, which I think is relevant to your undertaking. He said, the real voyage of discovery is not in discovering new landscapes, no, but in attaining a new set of eyes. This is also, I think, something which you are able to relate to. This is not so much, as we will see, about seeing the different things, cows, trees, temples, as it is to open our heart so that we can obtain an entirely new perspective and see what we have overlooked up till now. If you can take this idea, seeing on a new level with you to New York, they're from New York mostly, no? For me, New York is the concentration of America. Everything is there. If you can take this idea, if you can learn to change your perspective and see what you have not recognized up till now, your life will really come to the next next level. It means new doors will open, new doors of perception. It is said that there are basically three levels in which we can perceive a holy place. And if you understand the three ways, you will understand how to view your life also. You can do it in three ways. Adi Bhautika, Adi Yatmika, and Adi Devika. Adi Bhautika means you just see the material elements. If you, for instance, will look at, with this perspective, at me, all what you will see is an old man in an aging body. Adi Bhautika, the external perspective you can see. Then comes Adiyatmika. Adiyatmika is a perspective where you see more what a person brings with him, the world of his emotions, the world of his inner achievements. We say that you have a nice energy. We see his energy and so on. And finally, Adi Devik, we see the spiritual aspect, the soul of someone. This perspective you can have in various circumstances. Also here, in this place, you can see it, just collect the material sense impressions, and what you will see is a beautiful sunset in Vrindavan. And what you will hear is the belching of the cows. Yes, a little bit more, please, in the background. The crackers which the young boys and girls, you know, activate because they can't wait until Diwali comes. So this is a one way to see this sacred place. But you can go a level deeper. You can look with a different set of eyes, and you will perhaps grasp all those hopes, all those prayers which are here in the air. I mean, since a long time, this is a holy place where people go and they pray for the women who cannot obtain children, or the men who are impotent in this regard. They pray, and very often it is reported that their prayers are fulfilled and they have wonderful children after visiting this place. Maybe some of you want to try if that is a subject matter of concern. You can see also a nice, peaceful atmosphere as Vrindavan puts the blanket of night over itself and so on. But there's another level, and that is the level we are mostly concerned with, the level of the deity, the level of the Lord. I would like to give you the three perspective in relationship to Ganga. I think you have visited Ganga. You were in Rishikesh again? Just you have come. Good. Let us apply these three perspectives to Ganga. What will we see? The first perspective, what do we see? H2O. Does it say something to you? That's the composition of the elements. We see water. On the second level, we might see, feel, wow, here's a very spiritual energy. It is not only washing the bodies, it seems to wash the souls when we go into the Ganga. And the third level, which we can sometimes see, is the divine goddess Ganga. I must say, when I first went to the to Mother Ganga, the banks of Mother Ganga, I was with a very difficult group. There was a lot of conflict somehow in this group. And we reached Gangotri. There had been a few tears on the ways. In total, please help me with the English word. Exasperation? Is that a word? In the night, I just sat down at the banks of Mother Ganga and said, I never bring a group again. Never, 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 never. This is too much torture. These people have minds that are in need of improvement. So I remember at that time, And my mind is now also in a very, very critical position. I have heard that you are not just water. I have heard that you are divine goddess. Can you please do something divine so that I get some reignite my energy? And my dear everyone, I'm not saying in an imaginary way. I've not imagined this. But for a moment, I saw riding on a beautiful crocodile, a divine goddess dressed in a zari, which looked like the rays of the moon, very silvery and shining, holding a pot in one hand. Then there was another hand with a lotus flower. And yet another hand was raised. I just have to see. It was either the right or the left. I guess it was the right. It was saying to me, she was saying to me, It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. This is the human drama which you experience. But why don't you look on a deeper level? These are people who are eternal souls. They are on their way in their spiritual path, and make peace with them. Don't associate with their minds. That's only one level of reality. Associate with their souls. And I must say, this was so clear to me. And later I found the three levels which Ganga seemed to have indicated. So you will all go back to New York or America. You will switch on the news. You will hear the world news. You will go to the life which you left behind. It will all come back to you. I always say at the end of my retreats, when you return home, there will be a knocking at your door and you will say, oh no, no one is here. But the knocking gets more persistent. Oh, we have even two microphones here. Tuck, 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 tuck. And you say, no, 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 don't come in. But then finally the door crashes open and there the guest is, your old life standing before you. It will come to every pilgrim. And therefore, my dear everyone, if you have not been able to understand everything, anything from what I have been saying to you, because I speak so much German with a little English accent, so it's not so easy to decipher, I request you to make a special effort. There are three keys which we all can apply to come from the material perspective of seeing things materially or on the Adibhautika level to the spiritual level. And these three keys, if you can take them in your travel backpack, you know, rucksack, or take them in the heart, they will be extremely useful to you. The first is this. As you go through life, you should consciously search. Yes, for dramatic emphasis, this was required. We need some more of those now. You could consciously search for God, or as I say in my tradition, for Krishna, everywhere, and you will find yourself awakening in a world less ordinary, because he will reveal himself according to your eagerness to find him. So you consciously search in a discussion, in a visit to a place, in a, when you're discussing with your boss who wants to fire you because rationalization of working places and all, everywhere, in nature, in a kirtan, in spiritual practices, outside spiritual practices, constantly you search, where is my Lord? And you will see him looking from behind every corner in your life where he was hidden before. The second key to come to that spiritual dimension or perspective which we are talking about is that you see behind everything an arrangement which the Supreme has put into your life for your growth. One of my friends who has left his body last year, he said, I don't try to see the face of God any longer. I try to see the hands, you know, what he arranges in my life. And all of a sudden, you will find yourself constantly sitting in the classroom of that Supreme Lord who is hidden to those who don't search for Him. No? You see everything as an arrangement happening for a good reason to bring you further on the way. And finally, this is revolutionary for the for our civilization. You try, that's the third key, whatever you do, you try to please not your senses, not your ego, not your own fancies, not your own expectations. No, you try to enter the kingdom of the happy servants, those who serve the Supreme. You try to serve the Supreme, I wanted to say, and you see all and everyone else as a part and a parcel, a spiritual child of eternity. These are the three keys I would like to throw in the air in multiple versions. And please, if you want, catch them. The first is what is the first? Yes, I'm I want to activate you. So you search for Krishna everywhere. The second key. Huh?
See the hand of Krishna.
You see the hands, the arrangements, yes. And the third, try to please. This will bring you from the material perspective to the spiritual perspective. And soon you have a new set of eyes, which are much better than a normal spectacle. They are spiritual eyes through which you will see the world. I want to now conclude. How do you like Vrindavan?
Love Vrindavan. Nice.
Do you sometimes find it challenging also? No? Yeah. Little? Sometimes? But overall, wow, isn't it? Overall, wow. Yes. But it doesn't really matter how you find it. Vrindavan will act nevertheless upon you. There's an amazing little katha, a little story. Once there was a very nice husband and wife. They were really very happy together with their family. They were youngly wedded, and she was extremely beautiful. When she went to the well to draw water, something very disturbing happened. The main character of the group of actors who were touring, he also was at the well looking for village beauty queens, and his eyes fell on her. And she felt very, very miserable. It was very lusty eyes. But what was more is when she went home with the water on her head, he began to follow her. You know, it was a person who had a black kajal around the eyes, who was constantly chewing some intoxication and spitting it here and there. It was really the Mick Jagger of India, you know. I don't know if you still know Mick Jagger, but I happen to know. Do people know still?
Yeah.
A little bit, yes. A person interested in sensuality. So she went very quick home. She told her husband, "This guy is following me. He has lusty intentions." And the husband said, "Okay, let's get out through the back door of our house. So they fled and they went to the sacred river Yamuna. And when they looked behind them, they saw this lusty man pursuing the lady of his dreams for a night or so. So they told the boatsman, don't bring him over the Yamuna. He wants to seduce my wife. I give you the payment which he would give you afterwards, but just deny him the boat ride. So they quickly got in a boat. The boatsmen were in agreement. They went over the Yamuna and they went to their guru's place. They calmed down. They had a beautiful spiritual discussion. And then their guru said, I want to serve you now good prasadam, nice sanctified food, and brought the two to a dining area. And there they saw not two plates, but they saw actually three plates. They knew their guru would eat later, so they asked, for whom is this third plate? And the guru hinted through the window, see, our guest is coming. And they saw dripping wet this guy who was stalking, I think is the English word, right? Stalking the lady. But Guru Maharaj, said the husband, he has very bad intentions. Yes, he had this before. But he has crossed the sacred river Yamuna by swimming. He was in contact with the holy river. And you must know, everything in Vrindavan, the rivers, the earth, the trees, they are deposits of two energies of God. One is Taraka Shakti, that which liberates us from our undesirable things, also from our miseries. And this second energy is Paraka Shakti, that which draws us sweetly and gently, and sometimes forcefully, to the lotus feet of Krishna. So no matter how you are, and I think no one is as conflicted as this man from the theater group. No matter who you are, these two energies rub on you. They rub on your soul. They take away what is harmful, what is not necessary, and they give you nothing less than an attraction to the Lord. Follow that attraction. Whatever has been granted to you on this pilgrimage, let it sink in a little bit deeper. Don't let it rise to the surface and then evaporate, but allow it to go deeper into your heart, into your soul, so that you will actually make best use of this sacred place and this wonderful situation. By the way, in case you are wondering about the song there, it is a ceremony which they perform, and by this repeated clanging of these now the gongs come. You hear? All the inauspicious mental stuff is put away or chased away from this dimension. So it is a happy noise which you hear. It drives away the situation. I would love you all to see. Can you see? There is this. Can you see Kusuma Prabhu? And the one with the people can fanning the baby. My God, this is perfectly timed. And now the gongs speed up, and soon Raghunath can sing an energetic song. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everyone, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. One more time, everybody, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And one more time, much more blissful. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. I have said what I wanted to say, but I want to repeat what was in my heart, what was behind these words, the intention. And I wanted to also touch on the deeper level. You remember, three levels, no? You heard words, they were on one level. Now you will hear the intention of the person, the second level. I have seen in life that sometimes we have a perspective that does not serve us. Even in Vrindavan, we can step into a pile of cow dung and then we go like, ah, this is too much, you know, I just got my new shoes and now this, and then perhaps we have even fallen and our new dress is cowy, now cow dung, and so on. And we can stay the whole time of our visit in Vrindavan on this surface level. I have seen this myself. I'm trying as a monk to go deeper in a spiritual intensified practice, and as I'm going through layers of my mind, I sometimes also see that I'm coming up again from the depths, and I see, oh, it's too hot, oh, there's too much air pollution. I mean, we can't talk this away and beautify it with nice spiritual talk. This is a land in peril. So on. And I lose my spirituality as I become agitated and involved in the second level. No? So we have to learn how to do some spiritual archaeology, really, where we remove these disturbing layers, which doesn't serve our spiritual process, and find Krishna. And for that, this first rule of the pilgrim, or key of the pilgrim, to search for Krishna, is very appropriate. This was the man behind the words. The monk who wants to say something that is useful who doesn't want to waste your time, but who wants to give you a gift from his heart that is useful for your life. Learn to do spiritual archaeology, my dear people. Learn to go through the layers of perception, and then you will arrive at the spiritual level. You can do this in many, many ways, but you have to learn it, and perhaps this can be a talking point. There can be a spiritual practice, or simply just like, stop, wait a minute, let me not react like I used to do and like every ordinary New Yorker does. You know, let me see what is what I could learn here, and then let me finally see the Lord behind this. This was what I wanted to say. Have you understood? I mean, understood in the sense of language is not too difficult for you?
No.
Good.
Very good.
Germans are always a little nervous about their English. Hare Krishna. So, we need some more wisdom. Should we turn to the wisdom of the sages? Raghunath, would you like to comment, or Kusthuba, some comment? And then I would like to also invite just Krishna Murari to say something from the Vrindavan perspective. Who should start, Raghunath?
Kusthuba.
Go.
Om Agyamati Marandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. I feel very, 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 very fortunate to be here tonight, especially in the presence of Srila Satchinandan Swami, to be in this very holiest of places. When Raghunath and I were young men, we were brought here. We walked this path many, many times. Sometimes Satchinandan Maharaj was there. He was among the friends with our gurus, and those men showed us Vrindavan. We used to worship one Shila just over there. We call him Govinda Hari. We come and worship that Shila so many times. Bow down here, hear Katha here on the bank of the Kund, and receive the blessings of our gurus and of Govardhan Hill. This was the best thing they could have done for us, was to bring us here. You know, there's so much advice we can receive out in the world. People want to help you, give you some good advice. And Raghunath's mother had a lot of good advice, right? Don't jump into water when you don't know what's underneath. Don't jump up and down when you have a fruit pit in your mouth.
Yes.
Very dangerous. I believe another one is, don't talk to the cops. Figure it out in the neighborhood. There's so much good advice. People want to help. But if we took all the good advice in the world and we put it in a pot and we started to boil it down, keep boiling it down. You could boil it and you could get it would get thicker and richer, the quality of the advice. And it would come up, you know, it would come up to understanding yourself, that we're not the body, that we're not the mind, that we're the spark of spiritual energy. We have potential that's so far beyond what we may think it is. That'd be very good advice. And the advice could go still deeper, you know, understand God in your own heart. Then we could boil that down still more, even though that's very high level of advice we could find. You know, get deeper and richer and thicker and more condensed. We boil that good advice down to its very essence. The good advice would be, leave behind all your materialistic concerns and come to Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, be guided by those who understand the love of the residents of Vrindavan have for Krishna. Because that is the very, if we follow all the layers of evolution in thought, and evolution in theology, and evolution in love, we come to the love of the residents of Vrindavan. And it was lived and expressed here, around the Govardhan Hill, in the different varieties that the different residents of Vrindavan have for Krishna. The best advice we could get is learn about that love. Try to understand it. Be guided by those who understand it. Open your mind to it. Open your heart to it. Let that message come in. And Srila Vyasadeva, he wanted us to understand this, so he very carefully had to go back and write Srimad Bhagavatam and write the 10th canto of Bhagavatam and share all of Krishna's leelas so that we could contemplate them, think about them, hear about them, and really, really, really try to come in touch with them. In this very special bhakti lineage that we take part in, it has so much information about understanding. We can become well acquainted with all the different layers of wisdom, or all the different layers of theology, understanding God, or all the different layers of love, you could say. Right? Our acharyas, our great teachers, have written about this in great detail. And in order to substantiate what they're sharing, they come to Bhagavatam and they share the stories here. You know, it was at this spot, right here, that Indra, Lord Indra, received some special mercy, committed some great offense, and received Krishna's special mercy, because this place is like magic. So a lot of times we use the term on the podcast, we say Krishna miracle. And this, maybe we could also say Krishna magic. But this is where the magic happens, where everyone receives some special blessing. Everyone can receive some special blessing. It's so fascinating that Indra, if we go back to Vyasadeva's early works, like in the Vedas, when it speaks of Indra, he's the hero. He's handsome and powerful and influential, and he's just to achieve the position of Indra requires so much piety and dharma that you rise to the top of the heavens, and there you enjoy, and you're beautiful, powerful, influential. You've reached the peak of material success. Is the place of Indra. And if we read about it in the Vedas, it sounds like that's so admirable, so wonderful. Look, he kills the demons, and he achieves this high level of position where he can enjoy so much. We should follow in his footsteps. But by the time you get to the 10th canto, the same writer is writing about the same pastimes, but he's describing Indra in a completely different way. That actually the demon is the one that has the deeper understanding. And poor Indra is again and again being exposed as a fool. He's making mistakes and suffering, scrambling here and there, disrespecting his guru by mistake. Sometimes he gets so confused he even kills his own priest. And then the worst thing he does is he becomes envious of Krishna. And he says, and the whole village is worshiping this, being directed by this little boy. He's got some crazy idea that they should worship the hill instead of me. When it's time to do my puja, he's changed all their minds. I must show them a lesson. And with anger, he rains down torrents of rain. Like, we can't even imagine how powerful it was. So Krishna does something that he could have never have imagined. He lifts this little hill, or lifts this big hill with his little finger, left little finger, holds it up, everybody comes under. And day after day, interesting, if I just pour more on, he'll have to give in. But day after day after day, it passes, and Krishna holds that hill. And at the end of this pastime, Indra understands, what a fool I've been. I've risen to this big material position, but I haven't understood anything. Look at this envy that I have in my heart for the sweetest, most beautiful, most powerful being. Who am I? And who is he? And in this place, this magic place, he understands, I've been a fool. So many lifetimes wasted without understanding. What is the real meaning of life? All these little villagers, they seem like they're not so important. They raise the cows and they do a little farming. I'm the king of the heavens? No, they've understood the deepest truth. So he bows down, he surrenders, and he's blessed here. We can all be blessed in this way, here at this place, around this beautiful hill, all over the forest of Vrindavan. That magic is alive. It's not just stories, but it's something that people have come to this place here for centuries to experience and be transformed by it. And it's true, it's real. You can all feel it. You can all come here and bow down right where Indra bowed down. And in our hearts, this is where Krishna was bathed by Indra and his elephant, you know, when he had the deep remorse in his heart that I've wasted my time, I've spent so much time neglecting you, offending you. We can let, just as that false ego in Indra died here, our false ego can also die here. And we can accept that most special, very pinnacle of divine love. We can be blessed by a drop of that and begin to feel something here, something more special than we ever thought we could feel. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. The wisdom we get from Om Gyanatam Anandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Mukham Yena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha. The wisdom we get from Vedic teachings is not Hindu wisdom. Truth is truth. There's no such thing as Hindu truth. It's like math. There's nothing such thing as Hindu math or Christian math or Jewish math. Math is math. 2 + 2 = 4. So the truths we hear when we study Vedic teachings, they resonate with our heart. They touch our heart. They hook our heart. Now Krishna, he's a fisherman of hearts. And some of you have been hooked by Krishna's hook. You know what this fish hook is? It's like this, and it goes in, and then it gets stuck. I used to have the horrible habit as a young boy, as a fisherman. It's such a horrible habit. You put the baited hook in the water, a fish bites it, and then you pull quick, and that sets the hook. There must have been some kirtan, some prasad, some Bhagavad Gita sloka or Bhagavad Gita class. You met some devotee. Something hooked your heart to get you to leave New York, Rhode Island, Berlin, wherever you came from, to end up on a roof in a dusty village at night. Something so valuable that when you get home, your friends and loved ones will be saying, "What did you do? You did what?" You sat on the roof and sang songs and lit candles. It must have been some beautiful tropical paradise. Ah, a little dusty. Makes no material sense why you are here. There's nothing you can say to them that will make sense. Yesterday we're sitting at Radhakund, Mohan Pand is pouring milk on us, pouring milk on our hands, throwing water at us. We're all in our finest clothes. He's in his finest clothes. He's walking in the water up to his hips. Makes no material sense whatsoever. Yet we're here. And some of us are here every year. Some of us make vows. We don't want to leave here. People say, "Well, you go there a lot. It must have a great beach." No, no beach. Americans, we want a beach. No beach. There's no beach here. Some of us have been to the most beautiful beaches, beautiful places in the world. And still, we come here every year. Every year I go home to see my parents, my brothers and sisters and my mother on Christmas. And they say, "Where are you going this year?" I say, "I'm going to India again." You know, you might want to mix it up a little. Maybe go some other places, a lot of interesting places out there. And then my other brother or sister who knows India very well, "Oh, good. Oh, India's good. I'm glad you're going to explore other places." Not so much. I'm going to go to this one place. See, in bhakti, we don't have to have this wanderlust to go wide. We can just go very deep. And this is what fishermen know. Once they set the hook, they got you. It's only a matter of time. Once that hook has been set, the fisherman's got the fish. What the fisherman does, he lets the fish run. And the fish thinks he's free. And the fish finally, especially if the fish is very big, the fish finally gets exhausted. Indra had all the material opulence that he thought, I am very big. Who is this little boy? Doesn't he know? Don't they know how powerful I am? Don't they know what I can do? Some of us have a position in the material world where you're very important. So many people work for you. You have so many followers. You might have a big bank balance. You might drive a great car. No matter how nice your car is, you didn't have a flying elephant. That's what Indra had. He had the best car. He could off-road that thing. He could fly in the sky with that thing. He could race with that elephant. Airavata was like much better than any Lamborghini or Range Rover. Indra had all the elephant, he had all the power, strength, beauty, opulence. He had his own planet. You don't think you get proud if you have your own planet? We get proud if we have anything we get proud of. And that pride blinds us. Who needs God? Who needs truth? I know. And then we run and try to enjoy the material world. Now that's a problem if that Krishna hook is caught in your heart. Because some of us have found Krishna. We've prayed for Krishna. We've wanted Krishna so bad. And then Krishna said, okay, here I am. And we're like, oh, I'm not sure. I'm not quite sure. Has anybody ever fell into that category? You've been praying for him. You've been praying for him, and then he comes to you. And you're just like, well, I wasn't quite sure I wanted it in this type of package. We'll say, I'm going to Krishna, I'm going to put you on hold. It's a little too fanatical. It's too weird. I'm going to go. I've got a better idea. And we run into the material world. And we get exhausted. And that is the qualification to advance in spiritual life. Exhausted with material exhaustion. That is the dawn of our spiritual life. When I realize there is nothing in this material world that can fulfill my heart. You have to get to that point where you know there is nothing in this material world that will fulfill my heart. When you get that convinced, then you can run to Krishna. But if you still think there's hope in attempt to find lasting happiness in a temporary world, then you're going to have to go and see for yourself. And I'll just end by saying, I fell into this one period in time really hard because I was a musician and I had just given up. And Maharaj knows, he's been to my concerts. But I was a musician that was a monk. And then I stopped becoming a monk and then my band got very big. And then we got on some television show in London. And wherever we did a whole UK tour. And it was very weird for the first time. We are pretty popular internationally, but now it's like we were pulling over at a gas station and people would come over to us, oh, I saw you on the telly. And I felt, oh, really? And I started getting prouder and prouder and prouder. And I started to get a, yes, I guess I am. Finally, people are realizing how important I am. I'm very talented, actually. People didn't ever appreciate that much. Now I realize how talented I am. So in my arrogance, I also started getting a little arrogant with the other members of the band. Because that's what happens with arrogance. You think everybody should respect you now. And then I was walking with my guitar player. We were in Edinburgh in Scotland. And I met an old man with a hard Scottish accent. And he had a kilt on. And he came up to me. And I was dressed in regular clothes. And I had some neck beads on. Kanti Mala, the Krishna Tulsi beads. And he comes up to me in a very hard accent. I won't do the accent because it's too hard to understand. But he said, are you a devotee? He was probably maybe 70-something years old. And he was working in some shop. And I said, the way he said it, I couldn't, devotee, devotee. I was like, what? What? Yonak, Yonak. He's pointing to my beads, but I didn't understand. I said, oh, a devotee. Yeah. Yeah, we're devotees. And he said, I was friends with George Harrison. And me and George used to go to the temple in England and see the Swami. And me and my guitar player, who's also a devotee, were shocked. He said, really? What did you do? He said, oh, we used to go and then we'd party so much. But then we'd go see the Swami. And the Swami would sit us down. He'd bring us in a room, sit us down. He'd give us some sweets and he'd say, you know this material world is illusion. Just give your heart to Krishna and everything will be fine. This happened more than once because George would visit him regularly and he'd bring me in there regularly. He would say the same thing to us, sit us down, close the door and tell us, just give your life to Krishna. Give your heart to Krishna. Give your words to Krishna. Krishna will take care of you. And I said, well, what happened? He said, George really got into it. But I couldn't. He said, you don't understand the birds. That's British for the girls. The birds. There were so many birds. And the drugs. There were so many drugs. And the money. There was so much money to be made. I just couldn't. And then he stopped and his excitement changed and his face changed. And he said to me, but you know, over the years, I've made a lot of money. But I lost a lot of money too. And then I make a little, then I lose a little. And I've had so many girls in and out of my life. I'm not with anybody now. You know, I got good advice. And I just didn't take it. And I should have listened to the Swami. I should have listened to the Swami. And he turned around and he walked away. And sometimes I find that Krishna brings two people there for different purposes. He brings two people together. For him, maybe it was to remind him of some truth that he had and maybe do something about it at the ninth inning of his life, the fourth quarter of his life. For me, it was to remind me why I was doing music in the first place, and that at the core of my existence is that I'm just a simple soul, a devotee, and I should never forget that. That's my actual identity. When we hear good advice, we should take good advice. We don't want to get to this point where we say, I should have listened to the Swami. We want to say, listen to the Swami, walk with the Swami, bow to the Swami, embrace the teachings of the Swami. Giriraj Maharaj Ki.
Yes.
So we are very honored to have Krishna Murari, our good friend, our eloquent speaker, the priest of Krishna and Balaram at the ancient temple of Nandagram. And he's here and we love him and I like to sit and listen to him. There's few people in the world, when they talk, I shut up. Usually I try to talk over everybody, but he's one of these people that makes me zip it and just listen. So please, Prabhu, will you please share? And he's very beautiful, isn't he? I feel like dirt in my heart is going away when I see you.
Thank you very much. We have heard so much, so I'm trying to keep it short, but give something very essential. Deyam sada parivavagnam abhishtadoham Tithaspadam Shiva Viranchinutam Sharanyam Bhratyartiham Pranatapal Bhavabdhipotam Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam. I worship the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, which are like the ship which can bring a person from somewhere to something very specific. Actually, it is said in Vrindavan that Janam Sahasra Hari Rang Rache, that when a person's sukritis, or the good deeds which a person performed in thousands or hundreds of his lives, when they all those good deeds come together, te tirath pahunche jaye, then one gets a chance that he can go on a pilgrimage. And when a person comes on pilgrimage, he really comes out of his so-called comfort zone. So many things to adjust and everything. But what does the pilgrimage do to a person? Pilgrimage is like an instrument. You know, an instrument, a tool helps us into something. We in India have a tool, a normal Indian hand pump, you must have seen. My dear devotees, there's water inside the earth, but it cannot come out on its own. We need a specific tool to bring it up. When we set up a pump, a hand pump or an electrical pump, it helps us to bring the water out. The deep spiritual person, the deep spiritual self in all of us resides. But that's been covered by different layers of our engagements and everything. But by coming on pilgrimage, the pilgrimage works on us, because going on a pilgrimage is like going on a universal journey, where we meet different people, where so many things happen. Some things are beyond our control, but the experiences which we make, the people which we interact with during the time of our pilgrimage, they really help us to connect with that divine self which eternally resides in ourselves. It is said that when you know someone from distance, he will invite you only to the guest room which he has. So when we go on pilgrimage to different places like Haridwar, Rishikesh, all the other places, it's like going to the guest rooms of the Supreme Lord. The other places are like the guest rooms. When you are fortunate enough, you come only to the guest room. But when you are more blessed, then that person invites you to his own personal space. The personal room where he lives, plays, dances, and even jokes. And that personal space is where we are seated together now. The land of Vrindavan, the land of Braj, is the own personal space of the Supreme Lord Himself. And what really happens when a person comes to Vrindavan? There's a beautiful conversation between Narada and Bhakti Devi and the other devotees who heard him. It's mentioned in Sri Bhagavat Mahatmya, in the glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam. What happens to a person when he comes to Vrindavan? Vrindavanasya sanyogat, just by the mere association of a person with Vrindavan, just by coming to Vrindavan, Vrindavanasya sanyogat punastvam taruni nava. The spiritual life of a person, the spiritual life of a person gets re-nourished. Punastvam taruni nava. And the spiritual life of a person becomes like a young lady. For example, if an 80-year-old lady turns into an 18-year-old lady, how miraculous is it? In Vrindavan, the spiritual life of a person gets re-nourished. New inspirations, new connections in bhakti are received just by coming to Vrindavan. And what to say about when someone comes to Vrindavan and takes seriously Vrindavan, hears about it. Because Dhanyam Vrindavanam Tena Bhaktir Nityati Yatracha. Because the Bhakti Devi herself, the personification of spiritual life, Bhakti Devi, she herself dances out of great joy just by being in Vrindavan. And definitely there is a source, you know, so everything has a source. The source of happiness which makes bhakti to dance is Krishna's eternal presence here in Vrindavan. It is said, Chandra mite din kar mite. The moon will die one day. The sun will die one day. Mite triguna vistar. All the three worlds will die one day. Dradavata Shri Hari Vamshako. Mite na netya vihar. But one thing is always fixed, which will never change. The eternal conjugal loving pastimes or the interactions which Shri Krishna and Shri Radha, they do here in Vrindavan. The place where we are seated at the specific moment now. If Vrindavan, if the whole land of Vrindavan is like a human form of body, the human form has a head, legs, hands, and even heart. The place where we are is like the heart of Vrindavan. The solid heart of Vrindavan is Giriraj, where we are seated now. And what happens at Giriraj? Krishna, see, there are two levels of happenings. One is prakat, one is aprakat. One which can be comprehended or deciphered by our two pairs of eyes, or some of us have even four. So some things which we can see with the material eyes, but some things which happening, they are prakat, what we can personally see. And what is aprakat? Which the eyes of the heart can only see. And the way to open those eyes of the heart is by coming to Vrindavan and by praying to Vrindavan. Shri Vrindavan, Shri Vrindavan, Shri Vrindavan, Shri Vrindavan. That, oh Vrindavan, oh the land of Vrindavan, I might be very intelligent, but I am yours. I might be super foolish, I am yours, please accept me. Because my these eyes or my sensual perceptions, they can bring me only to a specific level. But because Vrindavan is not a place of understanding, of mind. Vrindavan is a place of heart. It's a place of experience. It's a place where the greatest opulent, powerful men like Indra, they open their begging cloth like this and they look for mercy. Lord Shiva, who is the Lord of Destruction, he eternally roams here like a toy of the Supreme Lord. He plays with Krishna. I want to tell you a small little pastime which takes place around, you know, we heard about the men which Maharaj was quoting about who followed that lady. It's a story of Sri Nandadas. He was one of the very prolific writers in the local language. He has described a pastime that once Krishna, when he was stealing butter in the house of one of the gopi here in the near the area of Govardhan, and Krishna reaches to the place where the pots are hanging, he reaches by climbing on the shoulders of another friend, and as soon as he is taking out the butter from there, the only small dhoti which he wears, starts slipping away. Now he is more worried about the butter than the dhoti. But because he is not just a small boy from Vrindavan, but he's the Supreme Lord himself. So as soon as the two hens are hanging on the pot of butter, two small hens appear from his body, which start binding that slipping dhoti. And as soon as he sees this, at the same time, a small boy is born in the house of that person. And then he, just by seeing this, he says, Ayo Chaturbhuj ko Das, that today a servant of the four-handed personality has come in my house. These aprakat, which we cannot see, but they are always, always happening here in the area of Vrindavan. And how do we really personally connect to them? Is by associating or hearing. Hearing is also a form of association. When we associate with those who have felt or who have perceived, who have seen, who have experienced this, by their association, the eyes of the heart start opening up. In Vrindavan, we give a very, very simple analogy. When you have so many papayas, green, green papayas, and when you want to ripen them up, what do? When you have a big heap of papayas, green, green papayas, we just bring some yellow papayas. We just put the yellow papayas in between the green papayas. And just by the association, it will take some time, definitely. Not that I just came once with Raghunath and I changed the life. It might take two times or three times or four times. But definitely, the green papaya of our heart will definitely turn into a yellow papaya, which is very sweet. And Vrindavan or a real holy place can open up for us only when the papaya has become yellow or red. Thank you very much. I just want to say, during the pilgrimage, we have received so many inspirations, so many things which we heard. We just need to... There were some things which made us so excited, so eager, that we have to really remember them, take them with us, and we have to again and again ring that same bell of eagerness which we have. I have some small gifts. Maharaj, maybe you can... For the wisdom of the sages team, I have two cowbells. The time when you came, it's the time when the cows return home. When the cows from New York have come to the home. When the cows from New York have come to the real home, the cows come tinkling their bells. And then they return back to Krishna, to Krishna's home. May this bell of eagerness, may you all ring your own bell of eagerness and be reminded of that how you returned to the land of Krishna, to Krishna himself. Radhe Shyam. Jai Jai Shri Radhe Shyam.
The bell of eagerness.
I can't express how touched I am by this very special gift. And a few years back, I wanted to buy my wife a very special gift. And I came up with this idea. And Raghunath heard about it and said, oh, let me pay for half. And it was a very beautiful painting of Krishna and Balaram coming home from Govardhan at the evening time with all of the cows. It's such a beautiful painting that you could just stare at it forever. It's like Krishna steps right out of the painting and you feel like he's right there with you. It's so beautiful that then Raghunath said I had to buy it for myself. And Raghunath got this same painting. It's so nice. And I always love to look at that painting and meditate on that. It's called The Perfection of the Eyes. To see Krishna and Balaram returning home with the cows, the gopis are waiting, and all the residents of Vrindavan are waiting for him to come back. And I'll put this bell right just by that painting, and every day I'll ring that bell and think of Krishna and the cows coming home. Thank you so much. It's so beautiful.
You will see when you ring it, it wakes you up from the New York dream. No, I don't mean it in a bad way, but in a good way. Yeah.